Thank you. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated for a reading.
A reading from Amos chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 and 10 through 15. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel, with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions, and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe, and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Here ends the lesson, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Reading from the letter to the Hebrews. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Thank you. gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but the Father alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give your money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to the one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left his house or brothers or sisters, our mother, our father, our children, our fields, for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
It is my honor and pleasure to welcome this morning Bishop Charles Kaiser. Bishop Kaiser was ordained in this cathedral in 1954. For many years, he has served faithfully as a priest, and then for many years as Bishop of the Armed Forces. And now he is the assisting bishop here in Florida, and a wonderful man. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. First, I would like to express my thanks and the thanks of my family to Dean Kate and her wonderful staff and the choir for making such a magnificent, beautiful service possible a week ago Friday, the marriage of my granddaughter. Thank you very much, Kate. Thank you, choir. In case you didn't know it, Dean Tate is very persuasive. She's the first in some time who's persuaded me that I needed to be at all three services this morning. One of the things that when you become a bishop, you don't have to do eight in the morning. But she's also a wise person, because she knew that I didn't have an assignment anywhere in the diocese this Sunday. And this is a bye week for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I'd be available. And lastly, but by no means leastly, she said, would you preach on stewardship? Fortunately, she did not advertise that that's what I would be preaching on, because between that and the rain, many would have decided to let's stay home. When the word stewardship is used frequently among especially Episcopalian, the second two words that come to mind are bah, humble. No one likes to really talk about it. But I would suggest that we take a couple of minutes to really see what we're talking about. A steward cares for that which is not the steward's own. The steward keeps it and tends for it as if it were. And in caring for that to which does not belong to the steward, but is in the steward's care, to bring it forth to show the best in that which he's given. Ministry. I take you back for a moment to Paul's letter to the church and Christians in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. In talking about ministry, the ministry of all of us, he said this, think of us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. I would submit that perhaps one of God's greatest mysteries of all is life. Life is a gift. Not one person in this lovely cathedral had anything to do with your life except accept. Oh, there was a point in which you got a little cramp, and so you decided to kick your way out. But life is a gift. No one did anything to get it or own it. Although we try, as a steward of this mystery of God, to keep it at its best, we must never forget that life is a gift from God. I don't know about you, but for me, I'm not so interested in how I got here.
But why am I here? All of us know how we got here. The issue is, why am I here? As your dean said, ordained a long time ago, and on my early arrival in 54 in Jacksonville, I was introduced to a great author, one who, you know the name, someday I hope all of us will know his work, and that is James Weldon Johnson, a great poet, who wrote a series of poems, as he said, in the dialect of the ancient Negro preaching. My favorite, of course, is his one on creation. And in that poem, he starts this way. And God stepped out on space, and he looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a woman. And then James Weldon goes on to describe the incredible, beautiful ways in which that all came to be, and where God stepped and pushed up the mountains and made the valleys. And it's just magnificent reading. And then after he had done that, God walked around, and God looked around. He looked on all that he had made. He looked at his son. He looked at his moon. He looked at his little stars. He looked on his world with all its living things, and God said, I'm lonely still. And I love this. Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down with his head in his hand. God thought and thought till he thought, I'll make me a man. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay. And he molded it so that he molded it into a human being. This great God, he said, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it, he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The life that we have, the life that we are called to be stewards of, was a life created by the man. Because God needed someone to love. We love a little bumper sticker, God is love. I don't like the new one, God is heart. I don't know what that means. God is love. But you see, my dear friends in Christ, love cannot exist in a vacuum. You have to have someone to return, to live in a relationship. Even the great God. And on top of that, God made us in such a way that I call it God's gamble. He made it so we could either accept it or reject it. You see, because even God can't make us love him. God can't make us love God. That is the gift back and forth. That is the life that you and I have. And so, as stewards, we are called to live a life of thanksgiving. A life of thanksgiving. And you and I, through our baptism, and what a wonderful surprise this morning when I found out that this day we were using the baptismal covenant at the time of the creed. Because you see, in our baptism, we have died with Christ in his crucifixion. And we live with him in his resurrection. A gift. A gift. No matter how much we may try, you cannot buy God's love. You can only accept it. We are servants of Christ, the gift of God through Christ. We sometimes talk about what it means to be a steward. We talk about time. You have to think, I have to be careful here because time has a connotation with it of length. And my life is not about length. Well, I hope it's a little bit longer than it is right now. But life is not about time. It's about the quality of my life. Who am I? What am I about? What's important in my life? Where does God come in my life? That's what we need to think of. And then how do I use the time that I'm given to do the ministry and the servant of God? You see, dear people, your dean and her staff, as good as they are, and believe me, they are good, they do not do ministry. The baptizers. They facilitate the ministry. They provide the sacraments of nurture and growth. But the ministry of this congregation is done by the congregation, the ministry of the baptist. So how much time do we spend doing that? Well, sometimes we talk about talent. What abilities do we have that are being used in a ministry as a servant of Christ, as a steward of the life he's given? Each one of us has been endowed with these gifts and ministry. And then, of course, we come to treasure. And you're probably saying, well, I knew he'd get there sooner or later. But you see, treasure is the outward and visible sign of, to some degree, how I have managed as a steward the life that God has given me. It is the outward and visible sign of the gift of life, how I handle. Think sacramentally for a moment. It is my tithe, my offering. It is the outward and visible sign, at least to each one of us individually, of the health and welfare of my inward and spiritual life. We can look at our tithe and get a reading of the health of our spiritual life. There is the biblical tithe, of course, to assist us in evaluating our inward and spiritual life. It is, of course, called the biblical time. We are called in Scripture to let go of the first tenth of our treasure. We're not called to give it. Of course, it may come as a surprise, but you can't give God anything. God's got everything. But you can let go of that first tenth that He's given us. Treasure is best understood by the biblical tithe. We don't tithe to get, but to be thankful. You may look in the bulletin every Sunday after the offertory. What's the prayer book? What's the next section? The great thanksgiving. And our offerings, which are part of who we are placed on the altar during the whole prayer of consecration. You know, when you come to think about it, Scripture as God given to us through Scripture, the tithe is the most even approach at all. You see, a tenth is a tenth is a tenth. There are no, quote, big givers. There are no little givers. There are only tithe. But I must say, when we take tithing seriously, it is amazing what will happen. Because we're putting God, I regret to know that probably most people make up a budget, and after that's all over with, figure out, now what can I give the church? That's all. It's just that. What can I let go for God? And how do I be steward of that which remains? You know, not only are we individually called, but as a congregation we are called. I asked Dean Moorhead a few days ago, if she'd give me just a couple of basic facts. 62% of the members of this congregation make a pledge. Should be 100. Because it's a promise to God. Things change. It's not contract people. 62%. But what's even more disturbing than that? Because I asked her to have the treasurer remove the two highest and the two lowest pledges. And the average pledge of St. John's Cathedral is $2,900. Now that tells me one of two things. Either we've got an exceptionally pious and holy group of people who are, in fact, are tithing, but they're all on food stamps. Because that's exactly what we do if we look at it. Or we have, the second thing it tells me, we have a way to go. And when do you start? Now. I have a dear friend, dear clergy friend. We were talking one day, and the official position of the Episcopal Church is that the tithe is the standard of giving. And it goes on to say, then, and people who sign House of Bishops and House of Deputies and so forth, and we're striving in the next 3 years to obtain that. Well, that sounds wonderful. He says, only one problem with that. What's that? He said, I could say, I believe that adultery is wrong, and I'm trying to get there in the next 3 years. The time to start talking about being a steward of the life that God has given us is now. And think what this cathedral, the ministry it could have. Because if it, the lowest, and I asked for the most conservative figure that someone could give me, the average income in this cathedral is guesstimated to be about $60,000. Very low, but that's okay. That means if we started tithing, you got double the money you need now. We're so pleased that the cathedral school is here, but think of what that community out there needs. It needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. It needs to know peace. It needs to know acceptance. It needs to know love. It needs clothes. It needs food. It needs a place to get in out of the rain. It needs a place to sleep. And Jesus said, "You go do it." Let's do it. Please stand. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayer?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord.
I will, God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, God's help.
Almighty God, you changed us forever through the waters of baptism. Help us to live more fully as your children. Living God,
hear our prayer.
You have marked us as Christ's own forever. Help us to live generously and without fear. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who are sick, suffering, or in need. May they experience the peace of your presence at all times and in all places. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who have died, that they may have eternal life. I invite you to speak their names aloud. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the ministries of this cathedral that touch the lives of the poor, the homeless, the sick, the elderly, and little children. Give us the strength, courage, and joy to grow these ministries and to serve you here in the city of Jacksonville and throughout the world. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Pour yourself into our hearts, O Lord, as you were poured upon us in the waters of baptism. May our prayers flow freely to your heart and be found acceptable in your sight. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us greet one another in the peace of the Lord.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral, and welcome, Bishop Kaiser. We're so grateful you're here with us today. If you are new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew that you can sign, and we will send you our e-newsletter. And we're so happy to have with us some of the families from the Cathedral School and their children who are going to be singing in just a minute. If you were not able to attend a cottage meeting this fall, we're going to have a wonderful dinner here at the church in Tolliver Hall on Tuesday, October the 23rd. If you would like to come, please call the church so that we can get a head count and make sure you have a place at the table. That's Tuesday the 23rd. It's hosted by our Wednesday morning men's Curcio group, and they are great cooks, so we invite you all. Speaking of giving, today is St. Mary's Bag a Month Club. That means that our mission church, St. Mary's in Springfield, has paper bags in the back with lists of items that their people need. If you can pick up a bag, bring it with you to the grocery store and put some things in it, and then bring it back to the church anytime. We would be grateful. Also, next Sunday, those of you who are physically able are invited to give blood when you come to church. We will have the blood mobile parked outside the front of the church next Sunday, and we're very grateful if you can do that. Now, before our children sing, we have a very special thing we need to do. Tom and Lorraine Corey were married here at this cathedral 60 years ago. And so I'd like to call them up and have them renew their vows. Come on, Tom. Lorraine. Thank you, too, for being a role model for all of us. And if you can stand and face each other again. Friends in Christ, we are gathered together with Tom and Lorraine, who have come today to give thanks to God for his blessing upon their marriage and to reaffirm their marriage covenant. Tom, do you here, in the presence of God and of this congregation, renew the promises you made when you bound yourself to Lorraine in holy matrimony? Lorraine, do you here, in the presence of God and of this congregation, renew the promises you made when you bound yourself to Tom in holy matrimony? May God the Father, who at creation ordained that man and woman become one flesh, keep you one. May God the Son, who adorned this manner of life by his first miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, be present with you always. May God the Holy Spirit, who has given you the will to persevere in your love and in your covenant with each other, strengthen your bond. And may God, the Holy Trinity, the source of all unity, bless you this day and forever. Amen. Now, about 8 years ago, a woman named Helen Ingram Plummer died, and she gave a generous gift to the cathedral. And the cathedral prayed, and they decided that they needed to start a ministry for children so that children could grow up in a safe and loving environment, learn and love to learn, and also learn about God. So we're very thankful this morning to give great praise for our cathedral school, which is just thriving. There are waiting lists, and they get the top grades in everything in the state, and we're so proud of the school and proud of these children. And we want them to come forward and sing for us. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Great job.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you alone are good, O God, and by the goodness of your grace, you have made possible our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. Be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant.
Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, Almighty God and Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
The gifts of God, the people of God. Take and eat them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on them in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Now please join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic ministers who will be bringing communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son,
depart in peace, remember the poor, be kindly affectionate one to another with the love of Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.
Let us go forth into the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.